Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Hallelujah. Can welcome a neighbor and have your seat. God is good. Okay, that was a surprise. Amen. Praise God. Welcome to church, where God moves in different ways, in different manners, in unexpected ways. But I thank God for his faithfulness. I thank God that we can gather and worship the Lord. I'm saying to you, open yourself today. When we gather in the name of the Lord, the Spirit of God is here, and the strength being dispensed into your life. There's joy, peace being dispensed. You know, even as you smile, as you shake, as you talk to someone, as you listen, just being here, there is a lot of good it is doing for you and in you. Praise the Lord. I also welcome our online audience. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being part of the service. God bless you. The Lord is said to do you good. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so for the month of June, we've been studying the theme. Actually, we've been on the theme sold out. And today the topic is He Speaks, Listen. Say to somebody, He speaks, listen. Say it well. He speaks, listen. Say to yourself, He speaks, I listen. Amen. John chapter 10. Media people, you have done us something today. Well, God is good. John chapter 10, I'll read from verse 1. Okay, it says, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You see that? Calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Hallelujah. You know, the beautiful thing about this scripture is that he says, my sheep, if you read from verse 25, when you get to verse 25, maybe I should just read it the same vein. Verse 25 says, Jesus answered, I did tell you, he was responding to the Pharisees, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. It says, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. See that? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So Jesus makes this, says he's a good shepherd, and just uses this example, or what do I call it now, to explain the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. And he refers to us, his children, as the sheep, and he, the shepherd, the good shepherd. So the beautiful thing about it is that he says, my sheep hear my voice. They listen to my voice, which means I am speaking. He is speaking. He's saying something that he expects, and he's saying it in a way that the sheep will hear. You know, when you see some of these are Fulani brothers that cattle rearers, there are things, you hear them make sounds that when they make, it's only the cow that will understand. So if you're not a cow, you don't understand. If you want to understand, then you're saying, I want to be, I did not say anything. Praise the Lord. But you see, they've come to the point where they can do those things, and the cow just knows, turn like this, turn like that. Hallelujah. So if you come and start doing, hey, hey, the cow will come and, you know, they know that this one does not, they will run away from you. That's what Jesus is saying, that these ones that are my sheep, they know exactly what I will say. They know that I am speaking, and I'm not just speaking, I am speaking what they can hear and how they can hear it. Praise God. I think that's a blessing. I believe that one of the greatest, 80% or if more, probably more so, 85% of the troubles that most Christians face can be solved by hearing the Lord at every point in time. Amen. I believe that. Many of our problems will go away if we can hear the Lord at every point in time. And as a matter of fact, most of the things that even keep us bound is it the Lord? Is he not? Should I not? Amen. We want to hear the Lord. And I'm saying God wants you to hear him. Before you wanted to hear him, he said, my sheep hear my voice and they know my voice and they follow me. Praise God. So the Lord speaks. So the job of the sheep is to listen and to follow. So, but you see, when he says to listen, it's not actually as casual as just, you know, somebody is gisting and you're pressing your phone and yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, but just be talking. I'm hearing you. You're pressing your phone. You know, you're doing something else. Can be you're watching. Just be talking. It's actually, I took the liberty to go through the dictionary to get it out the way English even defines it. And it says, it is to hear something with thoughtful attention. Listen is to hear something with thoughtful attention, to give consideration. He went on to say, is to give attention to sound. You know, horses, when there's a sound, song, we see how their ears begin to prickle and they are tuning their ears to hear what the sound is saying and what the sound is about, what the noise is about. That is what he said, to pay attention to sound, to be alert to catch an expected sound. You know, God speaks in different ways. He can even speak to you in sounds. So, but the point I want to bring out is, you know, in Proverbs chapter 4, let's read there. Proverbs chapter 4, we read 20 to 23. It talks about attending to the word of God. That is attending to his voice. So the listening we are talking about today is actually attending to his voice, hearkening to his voice, taking heed, paying attention to his voice. Let me get there. Proverbs chapter 4. 20, Bible says, my son, pay attention to what I say. And when you look up the meaning of, that is listen in Greek or Hebrew, it means that inclining, hearkening, paying attention. So I'm just trying to say, it's not just, oh, we heard what you said. It's not that we are, so we heard what they said in church. It's beyond what I'm saying to you right now, is that there is the voice of the Lord speaking to your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Amen. So the Lord is saying, I'm speaking, you hearken. Pay attention to what I'm saying. I believe that if I can ask, there are things the Lord has spoken to you that were very clear to you, very clear instructions. You didn't do, you forgot about it. Praise the Lord. Amen. It just skipped you. You forgot about it. Sometimes it takes a lot of things for the Lord to begin to remind you some of the things he has said to you in the past. But I'm saying to you, that's why he says to guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. This is because when the voice of God comes, the devil does not want you to know it, much less obey it. So what does he do? He sows the seed of discord in our hearts. Amen. The devil comes, sows a seed of discord in your heart, and then you begin to confuse the voice of God with your own voice, with Satan's voice. So that is why when, as I'm speaking, the Lord is saying to you, oh, that's your friend that is always telling you, you know, how they live their life, jaga, 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 and all that. You just be there. We listen. But he's telling you something very specific. Do you understand? And you now begin to tell, no, is it not their life? That is, the devil has sown something in your heart and rejects what you received. And then you begin to tell yourself, no, Is it not their life? They are free to listen to you, free to say what they live their life. Okay. But no, the Lord is saying something to you. Receive it and do it. Amen. Praise God. So you might be wondering, okay, how did I know it's the devil that is sowing the seed of discord? Because the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of confusion, but of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion. Hallelujah. He wants his children to hear his voice and hear him clearly. God wants his children to hear his voice and hear him clearly. Listen, I'm trusting the Lord that by this service, we will come to the point where we know that God is not hiding his will from us. He's not keeping his thoughts from us. He's not keeping instructions away from us. I mean, he gave us the Bible. He gave us the Bible. So how can we be thinking that he's keeping his will from us? Sometimes we think that we are asking the Lord, what do we do? And he doesn't want to tell us. He doesn't want to say anything. We feel like that. Praise God. Mark chapter 4. You will know to listen in the name of Jesus. So let me read from verse 3 because let me just run. It says, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. So in explaining it, Jesus said, the farmer sows the word. So we know that the seed is the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. That is when you receive a word and then he begins to tell you reasons why it is not God. The reason why God cannot be. Why would God be interested in this kind of matter? Why would God be interested in this part of my life? You begin to question the voice of God. And the time you begin to question the voice of God, question the instructions of God, you begin to lose the ability to do it. Because what happens is that by the time you are done analyzing what you received, what you'll be left with is your logic. Amen. Whether, do I have enough resources? Do I have the contact? Do I have the people? Do I know who to meet? Meanwhile, the Lord said, now it is time. Go do it. You receive. You heard it. I'm like, is it? That is it. And then he says to you, what about the money now? And you say, it's true. Okay, so where do we get the money? That said, now it is time. Go do it. He lets you forget that he's not lacking in money. He doesn't lack anything. Hallelujah. So things begin to pop up in your heart and you get confused. Before you know it, I asked one of my sisters yesterday, I said, does the Lord speak to you? Does it lead you? Do you know when the Lord is speaking to you? She said, well, sometimes, you know, she doesn't know. Maybe her mind is telling her. She doesn't just know. And then she made an example of how, you know, there was a riot and she began to speak and respond. And she heard in her heart, this is a part of you I want to work on. You know, the part that gets angry and you're not responding. And she's not saying she doesn't know if it's the Holy Spirit, if it's the Lord that is leading her or if it's her mind. I said, okay, your mind will tell you not to give back. That mind is very, very born again. See, I'm sharing it because it happens to the best of us. So the Lord puts an instruction in your heart. This is the part of you I want to die. And you begin to say, you know, I don't know if it is me. I don't know if it's the Lord. I mean, Satan will not tell you what part of you needs to die. He will not tell you to not obey your flesh. So anything that gets towards leave the flesh, don't eat as much as you want to. It's not Satan. Maybe maybe our last Sunday, there is so much delicacy everywhere. And you are just, eat this one, eat that one, You eat this one. You eat that one. Nobody. It's okay. If you can. But point is, God is now telling you, don't you think this is a spirit of gluttony? As you are packing, but I'm putting gym man on top. And he said to you, this is the part of you I want you to deal with. And you say, no, we have to eat. Today is once a month. Let's eat away. Hallelujah. When you just eat and eat and eat. The point is that it's not a problem for God, but it's a problem for you. Because what happens is that you are telling him, I don't appreciate your instructions. And you can say what you like. I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. And at some point, you will not hear anything again. You can, in fact, put apple and put a butter on top. Nobody's telling you anything. Hallelujah. I shared here, I think it was in midweek service, one of my moms in the Lord that's going to be with Jesus, how she, at a point, she's a prophetess. So she told me that, not me, she told my mom, but we all knew about it at that time. She takes a lot of Coca-Cola. She drinks, she loves it. There are people here that like Coca-Cola. But the Lord said to her, she's actually very big on the big side. And the Lord said, she said that she was told to stop taking it. And she stopped. So a lot of things that were happening around her health then also ceased, stopped happening. At some point, she just felt like, I'm okay now. Let's go back to our delicacy, our nice Coke. She went back to it, started drinking it. She buys them packs, drinks it, enjoys herself. But you see, I can say that that's one of the things that cost our life. Amen. Because at the end of the day, the day we eventually got her to agree to come to the hospital, her sugar was off the charts. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it is there already. She had the issue already. But the Spirit of God was willing to say, do away with some of this food. There are other things though. But I'm just saying this was very specific. She knows it. But then you begin to explain these things away. I mean, and when you take a bottle, nothing happened. You are still okay. You take another one, you're still good. You take another one, you're still good. And then you then forget the instruction and why it was given in the first place. Remember, we all have different instructions. As much as we have what the Bible tells us, the Lord speaks to us as pertains to our life and his walk with us. Do you understand? So that I'm not taking this does not mean you should not take it, right? Or that I'm taking it does not mean you should take it. So what I'm getting at in essence is this. When the devil succeeds in bringing those doubts to your mind and you begin to analyze the things the Lord has said to you, you know, when the word of God is, even as I'm speaking right now, there are people that will not hear a word of what I said, but they will go home transformed. Because the word of God is, you know how we say God is multi-breasted? His word is multi-breasted. For you, you are drinking something else. Another person is drinking something. It's the same word that is going on, but the Lord is speaking to you. His voice is coming to you. His instructions, his corrections, his rebukes, they are coming to you. So you will want to take what he said and write it down. Take it as God speaking to you. When the devil begins to, just like he said, the devil comes to take it away very fast. And as soon as he succeeds in giving you reasons why it is not from God, why it could just be your mind. No, you are just the one thinking it now. But you are born again. Why will you just be the one thinking it? You know, a preacher said that, you know, when people come to Bible school and they said, well, that they've just, something is telling them to go to Bible school, but they're not sure if it's their mind or if it's the devil. Devil will tell you to go to Bible school. You see that? So, I remember now. Uncle Solomon caught in the act. Your name has been mentioned. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it is not the devil. It is not the devil. It's not Satan. When the Lord says things to you that you know, naturally, you are not comfortable to do. Don't you think it's the Lord that is telling you? And most times, it's actually time bound. It is good that we obey the voice of the Lord. So let's keep reading. Hallelujah. Other seeds, okay. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Like the Lord is saying to somebody, stop talking bad about someone. Stop talking bad about a people. You receive it with joy. You're like, okay, so I will not do it again. And as soon as you come back, somebody just begins to tell you, talk to you in a way you don't like, and persecution has come because you received the word never to say any negative thing again. And then somebody brings it to your doorstep. It says here, honor that gaba on Malaka. Sorry, if you don't hear Igbo, ask with Adrian. You will now say, you have come, so I must have something to say back to you. Those are persecution coming because of the word that has been released to you. So when they come, remember, there is an instruction for me to not respond evil with evil, to not say any word, negative word out of my mouth anymore. And when that word came, the capacity to obey it came. That is why the persecution came. Hallelujah. Because it will not allow a temptation that is bigger, that is more than you, to come to you. So when the word came, when you received it, the capacity to, you know, obey it came alongside. So I want you to be conscious of these things. Because the word will come. Persecutions will also arise because of the word. There's still others like seeds sown among thorns. Hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. There's a reason why I'm going this direction, because you know, Bible says out of our hearts flows the issues of life. We should guard it carefully. And when the Bible talks about where the word is planted, it is in your heart. The Lord speaks to us in our hearts. We receive instructions in our, you just know it, you just hear it in your heart. And even when the word of God is going forth, you know you are receiving things in your heart. It says, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, when you begin to say, oh, you don't even know what I'm going through. Oh, you don't even, is this what I'm going to be doing and doing, and then I'll make it in this life. You begin to just, those things continue to come to you until the word of God loses its strength in you. Not that the word loses its strength. I mean, you lose the ability or the strength that the word came with. Praise the Lord. Those things, when God said, yes, you are due for a promotion, but you're not getting it yet. Nobody has not, they have not given it to you. A word came to you, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to sort you out. But you're just thinking, no, you don't know these people. You don't know these people. If I don't do something, nothing will happen. I have to do something. Those are deceitfulness of what, desires of things. You think that if you do this one, that will happen. But God knows you. When he instructs, he knows what he wants to achieve with it and is able to do that in you. When you don't listen, what happens, and you begin to accommodate all those thoughts, you choke the word and make it unfruitful. Praise God. Say, God leads me. He speaks to me. I listen. Others like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. I personally believe that the difference between the heart that yields 30, 60, and 100 is in the ability to listen. Remember, when I say listen, it's to hack on and get all the details. Not that you heard him say one line and you ran off. Ah, I know what to do. Is that you sat there and got the details of what God wants you to do. You knew exactly what he has asked you to do, just like Moses. You know the pattern he wants you to build, and you go and build accordingly. Hallelujah. When the voice of the Lord meets your own logic, you can't get a hundredfold. Hallelujah. When this is what God said you should do, you didn't even ask him, okay, how should I do it? You now begin to analyze how it should be done. You take your own analysis and put inside. You will never get 100. At best, 30. Maybe 60, depending. Amen. But what I'm trying to say in essence is that God has put us here. Remember what we read throughout 2 weeks, 2 Sundays ago and the other Sunday, that we have been crucified with Christ. The life we now live is no longer ours, but his. If we are living his life, don't you think he wants to instruct everything we do? Don't you think he wants to lead us in everything we do? See, many believers are living, you know, like in a pendulum. Life is just swinging us up and down. If he leads us to west, well, we are in the west. If he's the south, we're in the south. If he's in the north, oh, well, we woke up in the north. But that's not how God wants our lives to be. God does not want our lives to be anything that the day brings. we take. He wants you to come to the point where you rest in his leading, where you know that he is speaking to you. He can lead you. He's speaking to you. Can attend to his voice and listen. Praise the Lord. Because you can remember that the Bible says in Isaiah 30:21 that you will hear a voice. I like the way NIV says it. It says, whether you turn to the left or to the right, you will hear a voice saying to you, this is the way, walk in it. Verse 21, right? Okay, yeah, it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I started to learn, or the Lord started to teach me that. See, because you are in Christ, your life can't get worse. Your life cannot get worse. You can even take a wrong turn. You can take a wrong turn. The Lord doesn't want you to take a wrong turn. But if you take a wrong turn, he says, whether you turn to the left or you turn to the right, what is constant is that you will hear a voice saying to you, this is the way, go in it. The important thing is that you are not leaning on your own understanding. You are inclining your ears to hear what he wants to say to you. And Bible says, he will direct your path. He will direct your path. What is asking of you is, don't lean on your understanding. Incline your ears to hear what it is he's leading you to do. He will direct your path. You can't get lost. You cannot get lost. And because most times we don't want to get into error, the devil binds us with that. We are bound with not making mistakes, that we don't do anything. The Lord is saying clearly to you, this is what I want you to do, but you are not sure it is the Lord. You don't want to make mistake. You don't even do anything at all. Hallelujah. But you see, just the way we say practice makes perfect, to learn to hear the voice of the Lord, you have to practice. And I dare to say, you miss it sometimes. But how will you master the voice of the one saying to you, this is the road, if you are not trying to follow it? Praise God. If you're not trying to follow the voice, how will you learn his voice? I've shared here once how the zebra, a mama zebra gives birth to his foal, their baby, they take them away from the fold. And the essence of taking away, because when you see zebras, every zebra is zebra. You don't know who is the mama of this one and the papa of this. Like, everybody is looking the same. But actually, they have unique stripes. Hallelujah. But you see, because he's a baby zebra, he doesn't quite know yet what is what differentiates the mom from every other person. So the mom takes him away. Study me. Hear me. So it's only my voice you are hearing. This baby zebra is only hearing the mother's voice. So he's able to know, even if you don't see her, like you see everybody's looking the same. But once your mama speaks, you know, that's my mom. So they take them away and begin to just groom them for a few weeks to a month, thereabouts. I don't know. But thereabouts, a few weeks. And they begin to learn what their mother's voice sounds like. So when you come in the fold, you don't get lost. Remember what we read in John chapter 10? It says, they hear my voice, they know it. If you don't know the voice of the Lord, you will miss it. If you don't know the voice of the Lord, you will miss it. I'm saying to you today, begin to practice the voice of God. Practice to follow it. What I'm trying to even put out now is, no problem if you make a mistake. I don't know. But just rely that the Spirit of God will lead you right. Don't be so, drawn back. Why would you make a mistake? Why will you not get it right? That fear is not from the Lord. Amen. Because if you understand that when we incline our ears to the Lord, he will direct our path. I think it should give us a level of rest that there is one that is leading us. You may not even know, but you will get to where you need to get to. You may not have heard his voice clearly say, oh, my son, this is where you should go. But there is that nudging, there is that he's leading coming out of your heart. You just turn right. Oh, turn left, you turn left. The more you do that, the more you obey his voice, the more you master his voice. So when you hear the voice of the enemy, you can run away. That does not sound like the voice of my Lord. Hallelujah. But if you always disobey the voice of the Lord, when he instructs you, when he tells you what to do, you don't do it. So when the enemy tells you something, you don't even know who he's saying, what he's saying, because you've not mastered the voice of God. Hallelujah. So I believe everyone here, at one point in our lives, you have heard something in the course of your life, but when you continue to analyze it, maybe because of things like I said before, it fell true. You know, afterwards it fell true and you're like, I knew that this is what I should have done. Let me say it better. You know, there is something in your heart, probably, I don't know, what should we use as in the sermon now? Nothing's coming to my heart. So let me just continue speaking when I'm speaking. So the Lord says to you to do something and you are just like, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? You ask somebody and the person tells you, well, in this kind of thing, see what you should do. See what this other person did. And they told you all sorts. But the Lord has said to you what you should do. So by the time you are done gathering all those people said, and you said, you left what God said to you and you did what public opinion suggested. And then you fell true. It didn't work out the way you anticipated. You will say to yourself, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Has it happened to you before? You just know, this is what I should have done. No, God said I should do this, but I didn't know. So what I'm trying to bring out is, it's amazing how many Christians know the voice of God in hindsight. We know the voice of God in hindsight. So when things are past, that's when we say, oh, that's what God wanted me to do. I didn't even know. Praise God. But God doesn't want us to just know his voice in hindsight. He wants us to keep in step with his voice, that we follow his leading every day, everywhere. It takes faith to hear the voice of God. It takes faith to hear the voice of God. It takes faith to hear the voice of God. So the challenge that many Christians have is that they are tuned into the wrong station. You know, it's just like radio frequency. You know that the radio is always there. So it's a matter of which did you tune into. Hallelujah. If I asked you now, you will have heard voices. You will have heard things, Satan's. You will have heard thoughts come up to you. So most times, people hear what Satan is saying more than they hear what God is saying. The question is, where are you tuned into? Where are you tuned into? Are you tuned into where you can hear what God is saying to you? Or are you tuned into what other people are saying, what the devil is saying to you? So just the way you can, you know, you put 101.5, you say, they are singing Jaga Jaga, you say, that's not what I'm looking for. You tune into another station. It's the same way we stay tuned. You keep tuning to, you tune into God, where as soon as he drops signal, you can pick it. You know that the Lord is speaking. You pick his voice. So when, even if it's a good idea, good suggestions, you know, that one no follow. Please, what is God saying? What is God saying? Praise God. So I'm going to just talk about a few ways that you can know that God is speaking. What I try to establish right now is that, one, God speaks, and he's speaking in a way you can hear and know it and listen. Praise God. Number two is that listening is not just casual. It's to hearken, is to pay attention, to take heed. Like he said, they listen and they follow. Amen. So you incline your ears, you hearken, you pay attention. Number three is that when you begin to have those doubts in your heart, should I not, beware, the devil is planting a seed of discord in your heart. You might want to be able to, sometimes how to get out of that one fast is begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Just bow your heart. What is this? Just pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. The Spirit of God will bring out of you from your depth what he is saying. He will distill it from other voices and you will hear him clearly. Praise God. So are we together on that? Then the fourth part of it is that don't be so afraid of making a mistake that you don't do anything, because he's leading you. Trust that he's leading you. Like I said, it takes faith to listen. It takes faith to hear the Lord and follow him. So don't be so, you know, let's not that you're not even following the Lord at all. Rest in him that whether I turn to the left or I turn to the right, his voice will always be there to say to me, this is the way, go in it. I'm not going to make mistakes. Say it. I'm never getting into mistakes. I will not make mistakes, for he's leading me in the name of Jesus. So one of the ways, and basic ways, it's so funny, but because it's so common, is number one, through your conscience. You know, I heard a preacher say it, and I believe it's true, that when we talk about the tree in the Garden of Eden, of knowledge and of evil, and then the tree of life. That when man ate the tree, ate from the tree of knowledge and evil, that's where they grew a conscience. Hallelujah. That's when they grew a conscience, because conscience is telling you right and wrong, separating, oh, this is right, this is wrong. And God speaks to every man, believer, non-believer, through your conscience. Except when you come to the point where you have dulled it, you have seared it with cold iron, like the Bible will say, you no longer hear anything. But everybody knows to do right. Everybody has a sense of God. Everybody has God in them. They know. As a matter of fact, most of this time you see people go to idols, is because they know there is something. There is a God. But they don't know how to find him or express him. They now go to try to mold something. That's what the Greeks did. The unknown God that the Apostle Paul talked about. You know, they just knew that beyond even all this small God, there is a big God. So they just put a name for him, the unknown God. There is nothing God has put in man. That is why he said, we can't be excused. Nobody can be excused. So that conscience he has put in us is such that you know right, you know wrong. He can lead you to do right. He can lead you to do. Now, this is very basic. It's not the very primary way the Lord leads the believer. But I'm saying that everybody you see had a conscience and have a conscience. If they didn't have it before, they had it. If they didn't have it now, they had it before. Okay, so let's read a few scriptures. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I should have read this, but let me just... 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I'm not shouting today, but... Amen. So make sure you are a brother's keeper. Nobody should sleep. Amen. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. There is something called a good conscience. A good conscience. A good conscience. Acts 24, verse 16. Acts 24, 16. Media people gave me work today. It says, Apostle Paul said, so I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. You see, there is that natural knowing that this is right and this is wrong. And when you keep dulling your conscience, that is what happens, is that you come to the point where it stops speaking. And if you read Romans chapter 1 from 18 down, you begin to see how God now gave them up to depraved mind, and they begin to venture into all sorts, because there is nothing in you that tells you this thing you are doing is, I mean, lying is wrong, isn't it? On Wednesday, we talked a lot about that, asked questions, and it was very, 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 very beautiful. Wednesday service, it was very, very beautiful. You hear questions and you'll be happy and you'll be amazed, but it was beautiful, honestly. Praise God. So lying, for instance, is wrong. Believers shouldn't lie, right? Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. But then, you know, people for some reasons tell themselves there's something called white lies. It's okay to do that. It's not okay. Now, your conscience tells you as soon as you lie, that was wrong. That's basic, right? Something tells you in your heart, nah, I shouldn't have lied though. That's wrong. So it's up to you to say, ah, I won't do it again. Ah, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Or to say, it's not a little lie, what's there? As soon as you say it's not a little lie, you've put a plaster on your conscience. So tomorrow it tells you again, ah, this thing you did is all right. Nobody saw me. Nobody saw me. You put another plaster on top of it. Hallelujah. And as you're putting the plaster, you are losing the strength to actually withstand the temptation. So what happens is that after some time, even if you lie, even if you say you're in Abuja while you're in Enugu, your conscience will be looking at you. It's dead. Nothing is saying anything to you again. You now feel like that's the worst place to get at. You know, I don't have all the time. I would have wanted to actually read that scripture. Maybe I should read it. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 1. Let me read it very quickly from verse 18. Says the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. What has been made? You look at things around and you see it and you just know there is God. Hallelujah. You know, I was listening to a message, and he shared a story about this particular man that was brought up by atheists. So he grew up having atheists as parents. So he was listening to the preacher preach one time, and afterwards he met him. He said, I don't doubt what you are saying, no, but it's not the same for me, because he was preaching that everybody has a sense of God. And he said, it's not the same for me that my parents were atheists, so there's never a point in my life where I felt like there was God. So, and he said to him, well, he said, I believe you, I believe what the Bible says. And if the Bible says that everybody has a sense of God, that's what it is. So it's either that it happened, or you got that sense and you forgot about it and you just threw it away. That is what most likely happened, or that you are lying to yourself, that you are telling lies. So he said, this man went back and he began to pray and say, Lord, I want to know God. At this time, he had begun to seek the Lord. So he was praying. He said, I believe what he's saying, but it has never happened to me. So has there been any time I had a sense of it? And the Lord brought him back to, you know, brought in his remembrance a time where he had climbed this mountain, a very tall mountain, and he was looking, looking around, and he was there, evening dawned, and he saw lights coming up in the country. You know, lights were just coming up. And he was like, the people that put this light, they are wise. So, you know, it has to take a lot of wisdom to put this kind of light, thousands of light. And as it just kept happening, now saw stars, millions and millions and millions of stars. And then that thing said to him that these stars couldn't have been done by human. That the thing, whatever it is that put up these stars, must be a God. So at that point, he had a sense of God. He came back, told his parents, and they just told him, just discharged it. And that is how he forgot about it. It was seared in his heart. And as he grew up, he kept taking it away, till he forgot about it. Till this day, when he was hearing the word of God preached that you have a sense of God, and God brought it to his remembrance. Hallelujah. I'm saying to you that nobody is without excuse. Whatever you say to yourself is a lie. You are not without excuse, because the Bible says his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. He said, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And it's changed the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. You know, when people begin to exchange truth about God for a lie, that's when somebody will now say, I don't think I'm a girl. I should have been a boy. Praise God. That is it. That's where you begin to lie to yourself. You know, there's a story that happened 2 years ago. I think it's 2 years ago or thereabouts, just a few years ago. A 60-year-old man woke up and said, I feel like I'm now a 6-year-old girl. A 60-year-old man now said, I'm now identifying as a 6-year-old girl. How crazy can the world get? A man, 60 years old, says, of course, now since a woman can wake up and say, I now identify as a man, so why can't I identify as a 6-year-old? Why can't I identify as an elephant? Praise God. And literally went to buy, you know, this thing they call tutu, buy this flower, pink flower thing that baby girls wear, and wore it and put this bunny or something on his head. I now be carrying big, take teddies, put teddies all over. Oh, this is my room now. But this is what happens when, because he didn't just get there. He didn't just arrive there. Your conscience has been telling you something and you are saying, no, I don't want to hear. I have to identify what I want to identify as. Amen. But that's the devil at work. That's the devil at work. And we should be able to look at these people in the face and say to him, you are wrong. That's demonic. Somebody will now say, my lover is a dog. You know, he's no more pet. They are now, you are dating German Shepherd. Hallelujah. It's demonic. It's demonic. And when you continue to, when people continue to just say to their conscience, no, I'm going to do the things I want to do, that is where you are headed. The Lord will just, okay, well, what you want to do, do it. And foolishness is amazing. Like, it's mind-boggling. How can you be this old and this, you know? But that's what the Bible says. When you step away from truth, the life you begin to live, no, you just, it has to be foolish. It has to be very foolish. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when you read down, you just see how 28 said, just as they do not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. What I'm getting at in essence is, please, as much as possible, don't disobey your conscience. Don't give yourself reason to not listen to yourself. Don't do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There are other scriptures to read there, but because of time, let me just go. I know we get the point. Another way the Lord leads us, and the basic way he leads, you know, the very, very authentic way he leads the believer today is through his word. So that's number two, through his word, through his word, through his word, through his word, through his word. And let me say this about the conscience that I mentioned. You know, there are times your conscience actually condemns you when you shouldn't be condemned. Amen. You know, sometimes you don't have the time to actually share all these things. There are times your conscience begins to judge you, condemn you. For instance, if you grew up in a church where you have to tie your hair, you have to do all, you know, dress in a certain way, there is a place when you come, if you've ever come to a church, you didn't tie your hair, your conscience will tell you did something wrong. Do you understand? It will just tell you, it will be condemning you. You'll be asking the Lord for forgiveness of sin. But that's your conscience. So the point is that is why when we, as we are in Christ, we begin to feed ourselves with the truth of God's word. The more you feed your heart, your mind with the truth of God's word, your mind is being renewed, you begin to see what is true. Not just religion, but what is true. What the Spirit is saying, what is right, actually. As you see it from scriptures, you can't be condemned anymore by your conscience. Praise God. So I just thought to bring in that balance so you also understand, just in case somebody's experiencing that. Amen. So through the word of God, if you don't know and follow God's word, right? Hearing the Lord speak things specifically to you it will be difficult to hear. It will be difficult for you to hear. I want us to understand that the word of God is the authentic way the Lord speaks to you today. Everyone here should have a Bible. And the Bible you have is God's voice to you. It's God's word speaking to you. Most times we want to hear him say things to us. And that's fine. He does that sometimes. But the point is that anything that you hear from the outside that does not align with what the word says, throw it away. Or at best, put it in the shelf until you are able to clarify from scriptures. Praise God. Hallelujah. Put your faith in the word of God. Believe that the word of God is God speaking to you, because the word of God is accurate. It will lead you right. It is God speaking to you. That is why Jesus said of the centurion, I've not seen a faith like this. Because the man said, oh, don't bother coming to my house. Just speak a word. It will happen like that. Because I have servants. When I tell them go, they go. Stand, they stand. So I understand the weight of words. You don't have to come. Just say a word. And Jesus said, wow, I've never seen this kind of faith before. Let's put value on the word of God. So when you open the Bible and you are reading, remember the author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. So when you are reading, I'm not saying just be reading, it's alive. And the author is able to quicken these words and open them up to you. And that's when you can begin to jump about. I got it. I got it. I got it. I received. I heard it. You know, it just comes alive to you. Yes, you know what to do. I know what to do. You know what to do. Hallelujah. How did Pastor Murphy know to come to the east? The Bible. The word of God directed a man to the east. Not just to the east. He knew to land here. 11 years later, we are still here. Do you understand that? I'm saying that the word of God can be that specific. So the Bible does not lead the unbeliever. It leads you, the believer. It is accurate. It is accurate. It is foundational for us. That is how God speaks to us. It is absolute. It is the standard. Hallelujah. So no matter what you hear, no matter every other way, things somebody tells you something, I'm saying to you, if it does not align with the word of God, just keep it somewhere. Keep it somewhere. Amen. And let me say this, and I know I'm out of time. Maybe I can just talk about this too. Another time we... Anyway, so point is, what I wanted to say right now is that, you know, Bible talks about the word as incorruptible seed. Amen? And when a seed, just like a man and a woman, when a seed gets into the womb of a woman, what happens? There's conception, right? You see, the word of God, what God wants us to do is that you are expecting this, you're expecting miracles, you want to understand it, you want to understand that. Take the seed of God's word and begin to plant it in your heart. Plant it in your heart. Then guard your heart from weeds. Guard it from weeds. Nurture the word you received and you will conceive a miracle. Amen. You conceive a miracle. That's how much alive the word is. The way the sperm cell is alive. If you look at it through a microscope, you can see it literally moving if it's well. Amen. If it's well and healthy, you see it moving. The word of God is much more active, much more alive. Hallelujah. So when you take on God's word, I don't know what to do. I'm seeking direction. What does the Bible say? Take the seed of God's word that speaks to direction and begin to plant it in your heart. Take the seed of God's word that speaks to fruitfulness and begin to plant it in your heart. I want to understand what is going on. Take the seed of God's word, begin to plant it in your heart. Ensure that there are no weeds that will come and encroach those words, because you know, the devil is master at sowing those tares. And yes, he will bring them in the form of advice, encouragement, you know. People will say good things to you that will dampen the word. So you want to guard against it. Again, guard your heart. When you are planting the seed of God's word, seeking a way, you want to know what to do. Take that word. Listen, you will just know clearly. It will be so clear. This is what you ought to do. This is what you ought to do. Hallelujah. So when you're confused, ask God. The Bible is alive. I want to have faith in the Bible. Believe that God speaks through his word, because it's actually his voice to you. Ask him, Lord, what? Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. Open your Bible, begin to read. Open your heart, the Holy Spirit will begin to give you words, give you interpretations, tell you what to do. So in a scripture that is probably talking about prosperity, you just know to go start a church. Do you understand? You just know something. It's not, it may not be related, but because it is life, it can open up to you in answer to your own question, the question in your heart. Praise the Lord. So the word is how God speaks to the believer. It is specific. And it is more detailed. So the Lord can quicken your heart into areas, honestly. The third one, I may not talk about it now, but let me just list them. Through your born-again spirit. You know, when we receive the spirit, when we became born again, we received the spirit of Christ. We received the spirit of Christ, and now we have the mind of God. Hallelujah. we receive the Spirit of Christ. Bible says, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba Father. So we have the Spirit of Christ, we have his Spirit in us now as new believers, and that means that's why we can say we have the mind of Christ. So you know intuitively what to do. And then lastly, number four, through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. You can write down 1 Corinthians 12:1-11 and Acts 10:10. Acts 10:10 is where Apostle Peter received visions by the Spirit. Now, let me try to tie it up in 5 minutes. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is the God that we have right now on earth in this dispensation. How do I say it now? The Holy Spirit has been given to every believer. He's the God with you. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is the God with you now, because Bible says he now lives in us. Amen. So point is, every day of your life, the Spirit of God is nudging your heart. He's nudging your heart. Why it is important that we understand that we are being led by the Word of God is that the Spirit of God actually broods on the scriptures in you and brings up answers to you, direction to you through the Word of God. There are different ways. If you have been in our midweek service, I've thought about the manifestation of the Spirit and the power gifts, the utterance gifts, and the revelation gifts. All of that are the ways the Spirit of God tells you things. So, for instance, you're in church. Somebody can just get a word of knowledge about somebody, about something, and can tell you. Somebody can just be receive something from the Spirit and tell you. You can receive a word of knowledge. This is what happened. A word of wisdom. This is what is going to happen. You can just know. You can discern, you know, discerning of spirit. You can just be able to do all of that. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. Bible says he is our guide. He is our guide. I went into all of this is to tell you that we don't have any reason not to hear. He leads us in different ways. So we don't have a reason not to hear. In fact, he has created all these ways so we don't get into error. You don't make mistakes as long as you are leaning to hear. Amen. Praise God. God speaks to you through the word. He speaks to you through his Spirit. He speaks to you through your conscience. But the two I want you to go home today and begin to practice is the word and the Holy Spirit. The word and the Holy Spirit. The word of God and the Holy Spirit. When you hear, get a nudging from your heart, because there's something we call the inward witness. The inward witness is that thing we now call nudging. You know, you get a nudging, you get a quickening. That's the inward witness. Now, people still go to ask prophets, ask that. But that's not the way the Lord leads a new creation believer, right? Is it new? The believer of this age, you know? It's not how he leads the believer of this age. Amen. If you laugh at me, I'll give you my praise God. I'm hurrying. I'm looking at time and I'm thinking plenty of things at the same time. So I'm just trying to tie this up. So it's not the way the Lord leads us at this age. He leads us through the inward witness. So the Lord literally wants you to be able to live your right life without errors. So even when you don't hear him saying, you are now one with the Spirit of God, that you just do what he will want you to do. So even when you don't hear anything, you don't hear him say anything, what you do is exactly what he will have you do. Because you are now one with him. You are now one with him. Listen, he's always speaking to you. He doesn't want you confused. He's always leading you. He's always instructing you. Don't think in your voice. You are not smart enough to bring up those brilliant ideas. Amen. No, you are not. You are not. You can only see this far. So when the Lord is telling you something that is going to happen tomorrow, you can't be that smart now to know what is going to happen. Begin to practice the voice of God. As I'm speaking, there are things that probably will have dropped in your heart. That's the voice of God to you. Don't confuse, don't let the devil take it from you. Don't let the devil steal it from you. Hold it firmly.
So in your day-to-day of life, as soon as you ask, Lord, what do I do? He's going to say to you something. I remember one day I was just sitting in my room. I think I was singing a song. I said, for your glory, I will do anything. Ah, I was feeling spiritual. Just to see you. In fact, I've not even gotten to that, but I just sang, for your glory, I will do anything. It felt like almost automatically in my heart, I said, really? I said, I don't think so. Yeah. I'm telling you. You know, sometimes you just think that, for I will do anything. Are you sure? Literally asked me, really? But now if you ask me, I say yes. I'm ready. Did you get? So the point is that those things, there he responds back. He speaks to you. Well, you know, it's easy for me to say, my mind now said, really? My mind cannot be telling me, really? At least if it's my mind now, I already know what I can and can't do. I will not be telling myself that. I'm saying to you, the Lord speaks to you. He responds. He's alive. He talks back to you. Practice those things. Just say, sometimes we say something told me. When clearly the Spirit of God says something to you, and believers must stop doing that. Something, what is something? Clearly, you know that this Holy Spirit just brought out the scripture and told you what to do. And I said, something told me I should. No, say the Spirit of God said to me. That way you are telling yourself, I can be led by the Spirit. I am being led by the Spirit. Not something that you don't know. Don't you know what it is? People are looking at me funny. Like, you don't want to say it's the Holy Ghost when it's not the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't be afraid. Let's rise. Don't be afraid of getting into error, like I said. Learn to trust the leading of the Spirit. Trust the leading of the Spirit. Somebody are getting very clear, very, very clear, and very clear instruction of what you have been trusting the Lord to receive, how you want to do it. You are receiving something very clear. If you can tell Moses, tell Noah exactly how to build something, give them the centimeters. Doesn't that wow you? You know, God can tell a man, build it according to 10 centimeter by 50 centimeter. Those details. How much more you that now has the Holy Ghost? How much more you that now have the Word of God? You now have the Bible to read, to study, to meditate, to listen. I wanted to say to the Lord, henceforth I begin to listen in the name of Jesus. I listen. The problem is not with God speaking. It's in us hearing, listening. So I will listen. I will hearken. I will listen. I will hearken. I know I've tried to say so many things in today, but just understand that God is speaking. And he's speaking in a way you can hear. So say to the Lord, I believe and I have faith that you are leading me. You are leading me. So I submit to your leading. I submit to your leading. I submit to your leading. I'm not confused. I take on the word of God and I obey it. I take on the word of God. I receive instructions. I don't let the enemy steal from me. I don't let him steal the things the Lord has put in my heart. Lord, we listen. We hearken to you. We pay attention. We don't question and question and question until we lose the capacity to obey. No, Lord, we don't analyze with our senses, our mind, our logic, Lord. Help us, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we listen. We listen. Receive the grace to listen. In the name of Jesus. Receive the grace to now begin to hearken to the voice of God. You will know his voice and you will follow. And the voice of a stranger, you will not follow. The voice of the devil, you will not heed. In the name of Jesus, you are led by the Spirit, for you are the sons of God. In the name of Jesus, you open the Bible to read and the Spirit of God will quicken what you should know and what you should do from the pages of the scripture. In the name of Jesus, you are not confused, for the Lord directs your path. In the name of Jesus, you have a sound mind. You have a sound mind. You do not walk in disobedience. You don't spend your days disobeying the leading of the Spirit. No, you are prompt in obedience. You are prompt in obeying. And you begin to master how the Lord leads you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word that gives light. Thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for quickenings that are already happening in the hearts of your people. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.